Hello, everyone. I'm Ann Rhodes. I'm president of the Elementary School PTA, and the PTA and PTSA would like to welcome you to our first Meet the Candidates of the Board of Education tonight. Schools in New York State face significant challenges financially and for programming, and it's important that our schools have strong and effective school boards to guide us and help ensure that our children have are well prepared for their futures. Tonight we welcome four of the five candidates to the school board, and we we hope that you'll learn everything you need to know for the election on Tuesday. And with that, I will turn over the mic to Eric Herbstritt, who is the current vice president of the PTSA and the president-elect for next year.
Thank you. First things first here, let's do some housekeeping. You've all heard this or all the other stuff. In case of an emergency where we must leave the building, please use the exit closest to you, leaving the building in an orderly fashion. Take a second or two right now to locate an exit in the back of the auditorium or up here by the stage. We are pleased to bring this forum to our school district and wish to thank our moderator, our timekeeper, and candidates for their participation. Tonight, our timekeeper is Ms. Kelly Kubicki from the Greenville PTA, and our moderator is Ms. Maggie...
Behringer,
from the League of Women Voters. See, I read it and I couldn't say it. The League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan, which means that it does not support or oppose candidates for public office. However, it is well known for hosting candidate debates and forums. The League undertakes this and other important, it's easier with a podium, election work, because it believes deeply that the public should hear different views on issues facing communities in our nation. An honest and respectful sharing of ideas is vital for the functioning of American democracy. Ms. Behringer has been in the League, has been a League member for 22 years. She has served as Vice President for Voter Services for the League for the Women Voters of New York State and has been President of the League of Women Voters for Albany County. We are very excited to hear from the candidates. Ms. Behringer will explain how the forum will be moderated, and without any further delay, I turn the Meet the Candidates forum over to Ms. Behringer.
Thank you, Eric. Good evening and welcome. Of course, this evening's event is a forum for all the candidates running for the Greenville School Board on May 21st, which is the annual vote on the school district budget and on these board candidates. There will be five candidates, four of them appear. The polling place is open from 1 o'clock till 9 o'clock, okay? And it's at the elementary school cafeteria. We commend you for being here, for your interest in this election, and we really commend the candidates for participating. The forum, as Eric said, is sponsored by the PTA and the PTSA, and it's moderated by the League of Women Voters of Albany County. The League is a strictly nonpartisan organization. We endorse neither parties nor candidates. If you would like information about joining the League, there is some information on the table outside, which you can pick up as you read tonight. Assisting me, of course, is Kelly Kubicki, and Ann Rhodes and Tracy Young are around somewhere. If you think of questions that you have in the course of the debate, that you would like to submit for a review up here, please do so. We have limited time tonight. We're gonna try to keep this to about an hour and a half. So, and given that the candidates are allowed 2 minutes to answer each question, that leaves us time for somewhere between 10 and 15 questions. So we may not get to yours, but we will attempt to get to all of the issues. The question should be germane to the office, of course, not repetitive of general interest, and need to be asked of all the candidates, so need to be worded that way. You may vote for Greenville School Board members in the election if you are registered to vote and live in the school district. The two candidates who receive the most votes will fill two seats on the 2013-2014 Board of Elections. Their terms are for 3 years, and they begin on July 1st. The five candidates running for these positions are Thomas Connolly, Jennifer Warga Howard, Stephen King, Duncan MacPherson, and Kristen Turon, who is not here tonight. Each candidate, these are the rules, will make a timed opening statement of up to 2 minutes in an order that we drew by lots earlier this evening. After all of those statements have been made, we'll start cycling through the questions and ask each question of each candidate in rotating order. Those are questions from the audience which have been pre-screened. We will present only written and screened questions, so please write them down. The candidates will be allowed up to 2 minutes to answer each question. I did tell you, discuss with the candidates before the meeting that 2 minutes is an awfully long time, and we probably have a lot of questions. So if you can keep the answers to 30 seconds, that's a good thing. I would ask all the candidates to stop speaking when Kelly holds up her stop sign. I ask the audience to refrain from applause, disapproval, signs of approval, disapproval, any campaigning type things in the course of the forum. I ask you also to turn off your cell phones. We have one person here tonight from a local radio station who is authorized to record this forum. He is the only person authorized to record this forum. So your taping devices, video devices, camera devices, etc. on your cell phones, we would appreciate it if you would put them away. The candidates have drawn lots to determine the order of presentation. Mr. King will do his opening statement first, then Mr. Connolly, then Mr. MacPherson, then Ms. Warga Howard. So, Mr. King, you have 2 minutes for your opening statement.
Thank you very much. I'll try and keep it short so we can get as many questions in as possible. I've lived here in the Greenville Central School District for about 10 years. I'm a transplant from New York City, in case you couldn't tell. I moved up here in 2003. I left the position with the New York State Courts after the incidents of 2001, felt this would be a better place to be, and it's proven to be quite welcoming. My background is, again, with the New York State Courts. I also had 20 years' experience as a financial advisor and insurance advisor. I'm currently in real estate. My fiance has two children. One of them had graduated last year, has gone off to her first year of college, and the other one is in the 10th grade, actively participating in the wrestling program, which I'm very proud of. And with that, I will just wrap it up and pass it to the next one.
Mr. Connolly, 2 minutes.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Tom Connolly. Very similar to Mr. King, my family and I moved up here 10 years ago from Long Island. When we first moved up, my oldest son, Frank, went into Scott M. Ellis, and he is now going to be a junior at Plattsburgh next year. My younger son, William, standing in the back of the room, is in middle school, and my daughter, Emily, up front, is getting ready to finish up fifth grade. Ever since we moved up here, we tried to get involved in the community. This was the place that we expected to raise our family. I've been involved in the town in various aspects. I helped build the town's first website. I was chairman of the zoning board for a number of years. I partake in town government. My wife and I have been involved with scouting, both on the boys and the girls scouting side. I've coached soccer. The reason why I am running for school board is because, obviously, I have a stake in it, as do I think we all, as these are the children of our community. I have two children that are currently in Greenville schools and one that's a graduate. I'm very happy for the educational experience that my oldest son has had and going on beyond that. I'm happy for the experience that my younger children are currently experiencing. And I want to make sure that kind of quality is maintained going forward for all the children of our community. There's a lot of challenges for the school district, both financially. We're dealing with, we need some creative solutions with working with other school districts to see what we can do to save taxpayers' money while still really giving children the quality education that they've come to expect from Greenville. I look forward to answering questions tonight. I thank everyone for who was involved in pulling this off. I thank all of you for coming to participate and to witness this. And I look forward to answering questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. MacPherson.
Good evening. I'd like to thank the PTA, the PTSA, the League of Women Voters, and all of you for coming tonight and holding this forum. I've lived in the Greenville Central School District, I actually live in Cairo, since 1992. I moved down here from the Clifton Park area. My wife, Linda, has lived here all our life. She and her siblings all graduated from Greenville Central School District, kindergarten right on through. I have three children who have attended or are attending Greenville Central School. I have the one still in school is my daughter, Allie, who's a junior, hoping to move to her senior next year. My background is 41 years with New York State. I retired from the New York State DMV as the Director of Emerging Technologies. That's a nice mouthful. But basically, my experience was in data processing from 1965 up through 1986. In 1986, I was tasked with a national project to develop a system in concert with other states to implement the Commercial Motor Vehicle Safety Act. Our part of that act was to build the systems that all the states would use to comply with the federal standards. When I came back from that position, I ran the district offices for New York State. I then went in through a reorganization and we set up this Emerging Technologies and the windshield stickers that you had with all that funny looking tire track barcode is something I did just before I retired, and that was head a committee of national industry and state fellows to put together a standard by which we could all communicate with each other, not only in a clear but encrypted for secure data. My interests in running for the school board are to make sure that the education my kids have received will be available to kids in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Pearson. Ms. Warga Howard.
Hi, my name is Jennifer Warga Howard. I moved here in the 80s with my parents when I was 5 years old. I have an older brother and sister, and we all three of us went through this Greenville School District. My sister has special needs, so she was able to navigate throughout, you know, the transfers from this school to other schools to meet her needs. My brother and I were both very active in all of the sports and extracurricular activities. I ended up being the president of my senior class. I was involved in SAD. My husband is from Coxsackie. We've been here for 5 years now, and we're planning on, you know, living here and buying a home within the district because we want to send our kids here. So the reason I'm running for the board is I want to make sure that the kids that are coming through now have the opportunities that I had when I was a student, and that the technology that's going on, you know, the computer testing and all of that, that the students are able to have what they need to get the proper training for that. I also, you know, think that it's very important for the sporting programs and the after school activities to be, you know, still there, try to find funding for that type of thing, because I know from experience with my brother especially, I don't think if there were sports here, he would have done very well in the school. So I think, you know, for the classes, sometimes it's easier for kids to do well in school if they have other activities that kind of help them burn their energy, so they're not spending all that extra energy in class and they're able to focus when they're in class on what they're doing. So just, I ask for your support. I'm gonna be here, you know, in the district. So that's why I'm running.
Thank you very much. We're now going to launch into the questions and we're going to get right into the meat of the matter. Mr. King, you'll be addressing this first question first. We'll rotate the order of the candidates answering the questions. And the question is this: our school district has three schools, elementary, middle, and high school. Each one has unique needs. What do you see as the most important issue for each school that needs to be addressed?
Each of the schools has to be provided with the funding for the people in the trenches with the students. The teachers need to be taken care of. They can't live under the threat of budget cuts, cutting their positions. They have to be able to provide the best services that they can to their children, and that's be it elementary, middle, or high school. They each have their individual challenges, and we have some really great teachers that are suited for that. And we really need to keep a structure of the budget where their funding is a priority so that their students can be well taken care of.
Mr. Connolly, would you like me to repeat the question?
No, thank you.
Okay.
With regard to the schools, I mean, yes, there are three separate schools, but they need to kind of work in conjunction as we are a single district, and our children are moving from school to school. So I agree that teachers are one of the most important aspects of that, and I think that the educational environment that we're in with regard to looking at increased standardized testing and then there's financial difficulties, there's no easy fix. I'm not a huge fan of overuse of standardized testing. Testing does have a purpose, does serve as a good indicator of how we're doing. But I think that too much focus on that kind of testing takes away from the teacher's ability to teach and the children's ability to learn. I think that working together as a district, since we are three unique entities with regard to the schools, is communication is really the key. It's working with the teachers and the administrators to find out what do we need to do to prepare them for the next level. Obviously, when you get to the high school level, we're looking at what is their future. Are they looking at college? Are they looking at a two-year degree? Are they looking at going right into the workforce afterwards? Are we really addressing the needs of all these different levels of children? And as I said before, I think that sometimes the environment that we find ourselves in today can be somewhat stifling for teachers, and I think that keeping an open communication and a positive dialogue between the administration and the teachers and the community is really going to be key to the success of all three schools.
Mr. McPherson.
Yes, we do have three separate schools, but they're buildings. We have one school system, and I think we're very lucky. A neighboring school system is going through the throes of three different campuses as we speak. Here we have one campus. There are distinct issues in each of the schools. I've been part of the budget advisory committee for 6 years, and I have had a specific focus on elementary schools because I think where the base training comes in, that's where we get the ability for kids to move forward and be able to perform at grade level as they go on. Having said that, that doesn't mean I don't believe in the issues with middle school and high school. I think in high school, the issues facing us are one of more courses being wanted than we can provide, space limitations in some cases, the issues between the middle school and the high school with cafeteria is an issue that I think we have to look at. But in reality, the real issue all comes back, I think, to funding at this point, and it's something I will work very, very hard as a board member to get the state to pay its fair share.
Ms. Worka Howard.
As everyone else has said, three different buildings but one district. One of the bigger problems I think facing the district right now is our cafeteria program, and that extends across everybody, all three buildings. So I think that's one of the things that really has to get looked at, and if elected, that's one thing I'll make sure that I look into every option we have and try to figure out how to make that a self-sustaining program. Early on in the elementary and middle school, it's very important for the students to have adequate library time, to have instructors that are there available to teach them not only how to use the computers, but to still you still have to know how to look up books and find out literature and how to use the libraries if they go to another library that actually card catalogs. I know they're not really out there anymore, but it's still an important part of your education. And I feel that just because we have the computers set aside for the students to use, you want to make sure that they get the most out of that technology. So I think it's really important to try to get some libraries, teachers in to really focus on that. And in high school, college prep, it's the big thing. Try to figure out what programs are going to fit the student body at that time best to get them ready for the colleges and what the colleges are looking for to accept them in. So I think those are some important issues.
Thank you very much. Our second question is from the audience. There are quite a few questions about the IB program, the International Baccalaureate program. And basically what they're asking is whether or not you as a candidate support the IB program. Could you address that, please? And first this time is Ms. Worka-Howard.
The International Baccalaureate program. I support the program as its own program. I don't necessarily think it's a good program for our district. I don't know if there's a large enough number of students that benefit from it that make it good for the district. I don't know that 100%. I'd have to look, if elected and see more of what's involved in the program, and maybe we do need to give it a couple more years to see if the students are able to use it to its full potential. So that's How do you feel about it?
Mr. King.
As Ms. Warga said, the program as it stands, I believe, is an excellent program. We have great facilitators here for the program. However, if the number one performing school district in the state, Bethlehem, felt it was too expensive for them, I don't really feel that Greenville Central was the place to bring that into play at this time. Certainly, if we're struggling for every dollar for lunchrooms and for, you know, buses and summer school programs and finding, you know, training rooms for the student athletes, it's a massive expenditure that some of the wealthier school districts felt they couldn't afford, and I don't feel the timing was right for that here.
Mr. Connelly.
Kind of echoes some of what the other candidates have already said. I mean, the IB program itself, I think, does really look at strengthening some skills of children that I think are certainly worth strengthening, like critical thinking and a focus on writing. With regard to whether or not it's a good fit for our school district, I think the purpose of it is. I think that the execution of it or the administration of the program is something that we may need to look at. I know there are concerns with parents. I've spoken with parents about their concerns about either it not being in sync with certain AP classes, it possibly being seen as being pushed as in detriment to some other options. You know, there are, I think, roughly 58 students in the program now, which is about a quarter of the junior and senior, about a quarter of the junior and senior classes. So it's not like it's an insignificant population in our district. You know, with regard to money, yes, money is difficult. With regard to the cafeteria is a completely separate issue. I mean, it needs to be self-sustaining. We need to find a solution on that completely aside from the program money. So if we can make the IB program work, if we can find a way to use it to actually complement with the AP program, which I think in some ways it can, there right now are currently some deficiencies which I think need to be addressed, I think we just need to look at it as a whole. You know, I'm not going to condemn it to failure. It is still relatively new in our district, but I think that it merits a closer look.
Mr. McPherson.
I, too, think it's a very good program. I guess maybe I'm a little bit more tolerant of it as it stands at the moment than the answers from the other candidates. I'm tolerant because I think it needs to mature. I think the kids that are in it, and I've talked to them, are passionate about it. They believe they're getting a quality education. I've looked at what universities and colleges throughout the country accept IB diplomas and give them credit for it, some to the tune of a full year, and they include every one of the military academies. Virtually all the top line schools that you could think of will accept the IB diploma. We have only a few kids in the diploma program. Most of the kids are taking the certificate program. But I believe those kids are very passionate. I think it needs time to mature. And I don't see that as expensive as it would, as Bethlehem thought it was. We have one coordinator who spends most of her time on that program. We have a cost on an annual basis of, I believe it's $10,000. And I believe we have a participation rate for each student in it of about $150. Like Mr. Connelly said, if we can figure out a way to reduce that cost, I'd be in favor of that. But I think the program needs at least two or three more years before we can declare it dead.
Mr. McPherson, you'll be the first one to answer this question. Many schools in New York State are facing fiscal insolvency. Furthermore, in a financial analysis report about Greenville, available on our website, Dr. Timms warns of the dangers of keeping a tax burden artificially low and the lack of multi-year planning. Would you please share your thoughts on the financial issues facing the Greenville School District? Mr. McPherson.
They are voluminous, and they're not going to get any better. And I was at the meeting the night Dr. Timms made his report. I've seen him speak on two other occasions, and I read most of his material. I agree with him. I don't think we're artificially low except because of the tax cap. At the same time, we're a rural community. We have a lot of people on fixed income, and I don't think we can go out and ask for 9%. That's what we would have had to ask for if we, if the school board, as it exists today, listened to the requests of all the principals and teachers in the three schools. They worked that down to 3.9, which is under the allowable cap. A decade ago, New York State provided 52% of the funding for this school district. This year, it's 36%. The proposed budget, it's 37%. Are we turning the corner? Maybe. I'll need a few more years to determine whether that's true. But I can tell you that I will work as a school board member or as a member of the community to get the state to bring back the funding that the Constitution of New York State demands, a sound basic education for all our students. They are not doing that at the moment.
Ms. Borga Howard, would you please share your thoughts on the financial issues facing the Greenville School District?
I agree with Mr. McPherson in that it's going to continue to get worse probably before it gets better. But the school district now, they do participate in and are active in making multi-year plans, trying to budget things out ahead of time so they can, you know, if they foresee something that's going to need fixing, think ahead. Like the computers, I know they allotted money ahead of time and then they were able to purchase them. Continuing to seek out other districts and share, you know, services, that's very important, and that's something I'll, you know, try to keep up with, make sure that if there's an opportunity, you know, like they, in the summer programs, to pick up kids on the route that, you know, are going to ultimately the same place like we're doing now, that's important. So those types of things are important, and I'll try to keep an eye on it and make sure we're heading in that direction and budgeting out right for the years.
Mr. King.
I really don't see us keeping taxes artificially low. I feel that the tax burden on the property owners and business owners who also live here is kind of devastating. It's one of the reasons we have the number of homes for sale in this district. You tell people, yeah, what the taxes are per year, and that they're going up another 3.9%. Well, what a lot of people don't realize is that's affecting the property values in the district as well. It's not just a raise in your taxes, it's lowering your property values. And for business owners who live here, that's a double hit for them. So, it's got to come from inside. The budget issues have to be addressed from the top down, and I mean the top. You know, you can't have issues like benefits for life. We can't afford the benefits we have now. We can't afford the salaries we have now. You're going to guarantee something for an indefinite number of years, it's just ridiculous. And, you know, fighting to keep the taxes down in the community is one of my biggest challenges and issues, and that's one of the things I'm going to fight for the most.
Mr. Connolly.
You know, I agree with Duncan that the issues that are facing our district are indeed gloominess. I do think that in the coming years, some of the factors that go into the financial challenges that we are, you know, forced to meet will be getting better. You know, obviously our pension fund doubled its performance since last year. That will take a few years to kind of, you know, filter down to us because that is kind of a moving target with regard to our district's costs. I do think that keeping taxes artificially low is not the wise way to go. With regard to real estate, like Mr. King said, I think we need to also look at the fact that I think you heard already that this school district was one of the reasons for many people as to why they came here or why they want to have their children here. And I think that we need to make sure that that continues to be a draw. You know, you look at some of the issues that they're having down in Cameron and Durham, and you know, you read some of the articles in the newspaper, and they worry about the effect it's going to have on families wanting to move in. If there's that kind of tumult in a school district, you know, it's not going to be something that's favorable for a family, you know, with young children who want to move into the district. Those are the people that are going to be, the main patrons of the businesses of the local community. You want those people with the young children because they will be here for the longest. So we want to continue to keep the school district, you know, strong so that we continue to draw those kind of people. We are somewhat local to Albany. I mean, I commute to Albany every day. Some people like to commute better from down here because coming from up north, it's a lot more traffic. So I think that, you know, we do need to look at, you know, how can we save money? Like Jen said, shared services, I know we're already looking into it. I think we need to continue to look into it. And, you know, we're looking around with different school districts. One of them, we switched over from Wyndham Exum Jewett and Cary Durham, and then we got rid of Cary Durham, but now we're looking at Hunter Tannenbaum, perhaps because it's stronger, and if so, then that's really what we need to do, is look at better opportunities.
Mr. Connell, you'll be the first to answer this question.
Okay.
And it's generally about academics. It has a number of different parts. What are your thoughts on the current academic program at Greenville? What do you think it will take to ensure that Greenville students remain competitive with students from other districts when it comes to applying to post-high school education? Do you have an educational vision for the Greenville Central School District?
My educational vision for the Greenville School District is basically just one word: success. I mean, I want our children to be successful, not just mine, everyone's children. I think that with regard to the academic program, I think we need something that's balanced. I mean, our children are very unique individuals. They have diverse talents, diverse personalities, diverse needs. And we need to make sure that we're really kind of addressing all of them, really, in a fair and equitable manner. With regard to how do we remain competitive for post-high school careers, you know, I saw that question posed on Facebook the other day, and so I started doing some, as my wife will tell you, I stay up at night reading articles online while she sleeps. And so I was reading lots of articles about how do you get into college, you know, what do you do now? You know, in my day, it was like all the different clubs you could possibly do, you know, and it's not that anymore. You know, the essays still count for a lot, so writing is important, you know. Picking a few clubs and sticking with them and being really strong in your support and your growth of those clubs are important. So I think that, you know, we heard the other night at the budget hearing, there were some concerns about the Impact Club. And I think that, you know, any of these clubs that, you know, are not required by state law, so they're, you know, they're not mandated, so we don't have to have them. Yes, they're great to have, and I think that our children do benefit from them. So, and I think that there's obviously utility in them for their post-high school careers. I think that we need to look at the different tracks that these kids are looking to go through. I mean, we have kids who are looking for, you know, four-year degrees or postgraduate or just a two-year degree or not at all. And I think that we need to kind of make sure that we have something, some sort of plan, some sort of opportunity for them so that they can succeed in whatever they choose to do in the future.
Mr. McPherson.
The curriculum we have here in Greenville, I think, is set up right now to provide success for those kids who want success, to use Tom's word. But it's not just for those who want to go to college. I've talked to students here who were very much into the agricultural program provided here, not thinking that they would ever go to college. They were going back and work on Dad's farm. After being exposed to the teaching here in Greenville, I know of two kids who went to school for agricultural business-related degrees, and now are back on Dad's farm, and one of them is going to be his farm pretty soon. I'm pretty sure about that. The importance of the other parts of a high school education are not to be overlooked. Sports is a great tradition here. We may not have the best teams in the state, but we have highly competitive teams in our own area, and from year to year, we have highly competitive sectional teams. Mr. King's son-to-be was in second place, I think, in sectionals before he ripped his knee out in wrestling. Music. We have kids that have made national recognition in music and have been on the state. We have one kid who was in the state orchestra where there's only 17 kids from the state. We have a young man who's gone through the Questar program that we provide for our students, who is in the finals down in the Jacob Javits Center in Carpentry. So the experience here that Greenville provides is excellent. I want to keep it that way.
Ms. Warga-Howard.
I think the programs that are offered at the school now are great and varied, and students have the opportunity to pick and choose clubs and activities and things that tailor to their personalities and their interests. I think the on the high school level, maybe we should put a stronger emphasis on the AP programs, so students, you know, that are interested in going on to the four-year, you know, colleges and getting the degrees and all have a jump start on that, and there are more courses offered in that. The FFA is a great program, and I know when I was in school, it was like the number one club, you know, that had the most kids in it, and it did offer great things for kids outside, like Duncan said, you know, some of them coming back and just taking over farms here and staying in the area. Mr. King.
I think we have a strong core curriculum here. I think it's the teachers do a great job of administering it and getting it out to the kids. The athletic program, I gotta say, just the changes I've seen in Rocco due to the discipline and the training that the athletic programs here bring is vital to all of them. We really need to keep that in our sights and make sure that doesn't go away. FFA, I've you know, as a city boy going to the Greene County Fair or Altamont and seeing all the effort these kids put in, it's, even if they don't go into farming, just the effort, the energy, the discipline, the knowledge that they acquire is a beautiful thing. And those are all extracurricular. The programs that we have, they need to be focused long-term on the future. We have hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of college graduates who can't pay their student loans now because they weren't prepared properly for what they were going to do after college, not necessarily after high school. They're paying debt on programs they took that have absolutely no viability in the current workforce or the workforce as it will be 10 years from now. So that kind of thinking has to be incorporated into the high school curriculums as well. We need some real good foresight, and I'd like to be part of bringing that in.
Mr. King, you'll be the first to answer this question.
Sure.
Do you support the proposed 2014 Greenville school budget? A number of questions.
I support the fact that we need to provide the way things are currently. I don't support the way it's rationed out, or if you saw the pie charts, numbers, you know, I was in finance, so I know numbers can be manipulated. I don't support the way the money's being spent, but at this point, for the benefit of the children, I don't want to see them suffer any more than they already have. And so therefore, I would have to support the budget.
Mr. Connolly.
The short answer would be yes. The longer answer will be that, you know, in looking at some of the things that we have to pay for, there are obviously a lot of costs that are out of our control currently. You know, and so looking at what the Budget Advisory Committee did and what the school board did, and I give all of them a lot of credit because I know it's a thankless job sometimes and it's very, very difficult. Fred and I carpool because he goes to Hudson Valley right now, and so I remember the one day he was driving home and I was going through the budget line by line. So we didn't have much of a conversation that day. But, you know, they're really doing the best job they can with the money that we have available. You know, we're keeping it under the 2% tax cap. I think that looking at what they were able to restore, you know, they're doing a great job. Can more be done? Absolutely. Hopefully we can get more money either through advocacy at the state level or, you know, a lessening of the burden that we have to face right now with regard to the pension. You know, I'm hopeful that we can put more and more money into instruction for the children and activities. And so, you know, it's the longer answers to the yes, yes.
Mr. McPherson.
My short answer is yes. My long answer is yes. And my comment is, what we were facing this year was offset by the use of reserve funds that we will not have access to next year. What we were facing this year was either cutting programs more drastically than we did in terms of requests from the various principals until we got an extra $250,000 from the state. I would love to see a tax rate increase of zero. One of our close school districts is able to fund a budget this year with a tax rate increase of zero. We are not. 3.9 is the absolute minimum that I think we could go out and provide a quality education next year and a quality environment next year to our students. So without any reservation, I ask you here and any other people that you influence to vote for the yes on the budget next Tuesday.
Ms. Warga Howard.
I do support the budget this year, and I hope to be able to work on it for next year.
Very good. Question six. First to answer this will be Ms. Warga Howard. What previous experience have you had with the school board, and did that experience influence your decision to run as a candidate?
Outside of attending meetings, I've had minimal, you know, interaction with the board itself. I've just been attending meetings for the past like year and a half, and it interests me, and I feel that I can bring, you know, some knowledge and experience to the board and just new ideas, which I think are important right now.
Mr. King.
My direct interaction with the board is, I will say, zero. I'm a pretty much bottom line, big picture guy. And I've been watching for the past 5 years what the current situation has evolved into. Just in our last rankings, we've dropped from 48th to 54th in school districts out of 85. Coxsackie, Athens, Ravenna, Queeman, Selkirk, Windham, Ashland, Jewett, and even Gilboa, Conesville have finished at least 10 places higher than us. Something is not working. Something is not going right, and that needs to be addressed. And that is my purpose in getting involved in this election.
Mr. Connolly.
You know, I remember on the periphery last year, either working on a play or just bringing the kids to the school for something, that you know, you saw the packed auditorium, the packed library, and it was packed. As some of you probably were there and remember. I think that last year, a lot of the confusion, a lot of the passion that was displayed really was, it came out of perhaps a lack of communication. You know, I did come to a board meeting earlier this year. It was the first board meeting in which I spoke. And I did so because my younger son was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes last year. And having dealt with a number of the other parents and, you know, in dealing with the change that we had to go through for him with the school district, you know, communication becomes certainly an important factor. You know, because you want to make sure that your child is being taken care of and also being given a fair shake. You know, as he may tell you if you get a chance to ask him, you know, I look at it as not, here he is, I look at it as not a, you know, a disability for him. You know, I, every time we've had a meeting with Mr. Reeve, you know, I'm trying to make it abundantly clear, he is not different or to be treated differently. You know, and I know that having spoken to other parents of children with either diabetes or other, you know, illnesses or challenges, communication is really a key. And I think that goes for not just children, you know, parents of these types of children, but just parents in general and community members. You know, I do have a background in communications, and I really hope to bring that to the board so that people feel like they're actually being listened to, you're being given the time that they're due, and, you know, they deserve, and the respect that they should be given. And that's one of the reasons why I really decided to run for the board.
Mr. McPherson.
My contact with the board started at one or two board meetings about 7 years ago. And at some point, somebody asked me if I'd be interested in being on the Budget Advisory Committee. And I said, what's that? And they explained to me what they did, and I said, yeah, I'll take a shot at it. I got to learn an awful lot about what goes on, especially on the financial side of the school district. I didn't get into much into the curriculum, etc., except the impact on the budget. My more recent experience with the board has been to attend virtually all the board meetings, including the workshops, to visit other school district board meetings to understand the issues facing them and how they conduct their business. And when I made the decision this year to run for the board, since then I've attended three other school district board meetings, as well as our own. And basically that's my experience with the board.
Thank you. The next question is about roles. It asks you to define the role of the board, define the role of the superintendent, and your thoughts on how the board and the superintendent should effectively work together. And there are a number of questions about shared services, including a shared superintendent. I can split that off and ask that separately, but I would be interested in your thoughts in the context of discussing roles, your feeling about shared services. And the first to answer that question will be Mr. McPherson.
I could see you looking at me. The role of the board is that of a board of directors in an organization. The role of the superintendent is that of the CEO. The board sets the direction. The superintendent and the administrative staff affect that direction. They do what is necessary to make it happen. They come back to the board for advice and for consultation with issues. They respond to the board's needs. They respond to questions that the board puts forward to them that are generated by the community. As to shared services, I know our superintendent has been very active in shared services. 2 years ago, we brought back on campus many of the special needs students at a significant reduction in expenditures. There was quite a bit of controversy in the community when that was proposed. And I saw one man raising his fist at the superintendent, thinking that his child was going to be negatively affected. At the end of the year, I saw that same man virtually give the superintendent a hug. And she's a very, very calm, standoffish person, not in a negative way, but in a very professional way. And I saw her go like this, but he was so happy what his child had gotten in that 1 year. I think shared services are great. We had shared services for the special ed program with Coxsackie Athens and Wyndham Jewett. Coxsackie has backed out. Wyndham Jewett is still in, and Hunter Sanderville will be joining us this year in that pursuit. And I know that the superintendent has actually put forth a shared services for the superintendent's position with other Greene County school districts. None have taken the bait yet.
Thank you. Ms. Morga Howard.
The board, you know, they are the ones who make the policy, and the superintendent is the one who carries out the things throughout, you know, the daily activities in the schools. Shared services are important, I think, both for students, so that the opportunities present themselves better that way. You know, people are, especially students that have special needs and need to travel outside the district, and it's best when you can do that with other districts. And it's important for the taxpayer, because the money is able to be spent more wisely and not spread out so much. If you're able to share a service with another school district, you can split the bill, and that's better for the taxpayer. Mr. King.
As Duncan had said, the role of the board itself would be that of the board of directors. And as such, it should be transparent. It should definitely take on the fiduciary responsibility of managing the budgetary process. And they owe that to the parents in the schools to make sure their children are receiving what they deserve. They owe that to the property owners. And they owe that to every voter who puts them in place. As far as shared services, any way that we can get our budget down, get the tax burden down, I am all for. I too went to school with 1,235 people. That was in my graduating class. And we managed that with the dean. Okay, so there are definitely ways we can spread that out. And that district also had 11 or 12 schools, and it was managed from one central location. So we could definitely incorporate that sharing, especially in a Greene County where it's not that far away to get to another district, and we can get a central location and work that out. So I do believe the sharing is definitely a major consideration in the future.
Mr. Connelly.
Well, I think that most of the candidates up here tonight are fairly unanimous in their view of the role of the board and the superintendent. The board is meant to set policy. They kind of come up with a vision for the school district, and the the superintendent is the person who is tasked with carrying out that vision, along with the staff and the rest of the administration. You know, I'm certainly not a believer in micromanaging, and as I think I'd elected to be a board member, that's certainly not something I'd be looking to do. I do think that communication, as I said before, is still going to be key, both with the board, between the board and the public, the board and the staff, the superintendent and the staff, superintendent and the board, it goes on and on. I think that with regard to shared services, you know, I don't want to say anything that hasn't been said already. Yes, it's certainly a cost-saving measure. I think we need to continue to look into it, as we have been doing. I have full faith in the board now and the superintendent in looking at ways that we can increase our cost savings through shared services. But one thing I didn't hear any of the other candidates say is I think that we also need to look at it somewhat from a revenue side. You know, there are certain things that Greenville can be great at and that we could be the ones who are providing that service to other districts that we could gain revenue from, which then offsets the burden that we're faced with. So I think that we kind of need to look at what we are, you know, unique as far as what we can offer. You know, what are our strengths and how can we make them better? And how can we use those strengths to really capitalize on being the source of some of those shared services with other districts?
Thank you. Next question will be answered first by Mr. Connolly. What are your personal goals for the district for the next 3 years, and what would be your first actions?
Well, as I've said for the past couple answers, as far as what my first action would be, is I think that having attended some of the more recent board meetings and expressing my experience for the first time talking at a board meeting, you know, I think that communication is going to be key to the board being successful moving forward with the cooperation of the entire community. You know, I do think that there are ways that we can really enhance the way we're doing things now. You know, even with this forum tonight, we receive a lot of the questions through the Facebook. But in a rural area like this, you know, not everyone has access to high-speed internet. So although social media is certainly one factor that we can look into for increasing communication, it's certainly not the only one. I think we need to make sure that we are, just as we're addressing the unique needs of our students, we need to address the unique situations of our families and taxpayers. I think that, you know, something as simple as a comments box, you know, and I think even addressing some of those items on a monthly basis at the board meeting, you know, as an extension of the open forum or as a separate section unto itself, just so that people know that, you know, we're listening. As a board, we can discuss the items, but we care, and hopefully we can do something with them about it. But my vision overall for the next 3 years is fairly simple. You know, it's to do what I can to not only maintain the quality of the school district as it is now, but to do whatever I can to work with the other board members, the community, and the staff to make it better.
Mr. McPherson.
My first actions would be to make sure that we continue to move forward with improving our website. I would try to get information back from the users of the website to what they see are impediments to their successful use of that website. That goes, I guess, to the communication point that Tom just made. But my overall goal over the next 3 years would be to learn as much as I can with the education materials available to board members. It would be to make sure that if the statistics Mr. King quoted a little bit earlier about the slide in Greenville's relative position, and I'm not sure what chart that is, whether it's test scores or whatever, but whatever it is, I will make it my business to find out what that is, and to the best of my ability, working with my fellow board members, put in place the things we need to turn that around. I don't want to be behind Conesville. I don't want to be behind Gilboa. I don't want to be behind anybody else. I want Greene County to know that Greenville exists here. I want the state of New York to know that Greenville exists here. And I think some of our students have carried that banner very well in the past. I want to make sure the future generation of kids in grammar school now, or the kids getting ready to go into pre-K, are going to be able to carry that banner in the future.
Ms. Borga Howard.
Some of the personal goals I have for being on the board are, first of all, I have a lot to learn about core curriculum and some of the state, you know, mandated fees and programs. You know, I'm not a teacher. I work in the pharmacy at a hospital, so it's a very different world. But one of the first actions I think I would take is to really take a look at the salaries that the district is giving to teachers, some of the higher administration salaries, and just make sure things are distributed appropriately. You know, it broke my heart last year to watch the support staff, you know, come to that meeting that was too late to come to at that point, but to see the benefits getting taken away from the people who make the school run, just, it really did, it got to me. The students can't succeed in a school where they have unhappy staff or not enough staff. So I think that would definitely be one of the things I would want to take a look at. Mr. King.
By no means would I neglect the educational aspect of this. I would do everything I could to learn. That's what I do in life, is I try to continually learn. But I would learn the aspects of being on the Board of Education. I would commit to making that a priority. I certainly don't want to maintain any status quo. And I would be happy to give Mr. McPherson the charts where I got that information of. It's an overall ranking of all the school districts, including their programs for a special ed and things like that. And a six-point slide is difficult. Becoming in and behind Gilboa is even more difficult. So I definitely want to focus on improving that ranking of the district. You improve that ranking, be it through the sports programs, the educational programs, the other opportunities that we could provide, that's gonna just bring a better quality of life for everybody. We can afford to maintain our teachers and service staff. We can afford to do those things. Want to see parity and equality for all the athletic teams and for all the students. Every student is important. It's whether they're in the IB program or they're in a resource room, each child has the right to an equal amount of time, energy, and finance. And one of the things I would definitely like to see is to make sure that that takes place for every single student in the Greenville Central School District.
Thank you. Mr. King, you'll be answering this question first. There has been a lot of discussion in the press about testing. What is your position on the amount of student testing? Of course, some of that is not in the school board's hands. But what is your personal attitude towards testing of students?
If you're teaching to the test, it's difficult to provide a well-rounded education. It also is taking time out of the classrooms for the students. It's putting a lot of demand on teachers. And I really don't think that's fair. Unfortunately, like you said, the board really doesn't have a lot of control over that. We have to acquiesce to what the state legislature says we need to do, what the national boards of education say we need to do. And we have to find a way to work that, you know, into our program. And that's kind of what I was talking about with going down the line into the future. I mean, these are the things they're going to face, be it in high school, be it in fourth grade for reading or math scores. It's coming, and it's got a momentum that we really can't step in and stop. And it's going to be the same when they get to college as well, and in certain professional careers too. Testing is going to be a major part of what they need to face and prepare for. So as much as I would rather see the teachers and students spending their time doing other things than taking standardized tests, we're just going to have to accept the fact that due to the fact that it is a state mandate, we're going to have to prepare for it and address it.
Mr. Connelly.
As I said in my opening statement, you know, testing itself does have a purpose and a place. I don't think, though, that it should be the primary focus or the goal of any educational environment. I do have concerns, much like Mr. King, about teachers being forced to, let's say, teaching a test just because of time constraints, because of concerns over evaluations, concerns about funding. And I think that really compromises why they're here in the first place. Teachers are not just a medium with which to deliver information. I mean, they're teachers. They're meant to teach. You know, children, as I said many times, students are different. All our children are different. And it's the teacher's job to figure out how to best get them to learn the information that they need to learn, to teach to their strengths, both the teacher's strengths and the children's strengths. You know, and I think that too much focus on standardized testing can somewhat jeopardize that. And so I think that we need to look at that. We need to look at, obviously, the technology aspects, the fatigue aspects of the children. You know, my two younger ones had to go through the 2 weeks of testing, and, you know, it's day in, day out. You know, and they come home, and they're just, you know, they're tired from it. I mean, we heard people from at the board meeting the other night talking about, you know, their children's experience with the testing. I know there are some concerns about the computerized testing with kids being too young who aren't that necessarily familiar enough with the technology. So, you know, I think it may be causing more problems than it's solving. So, like I said, I just think that, you know, it certainly has a purpose. It serves a point in providing us with some sort of scoreboard for how we're doing. But I think that it's become too much of a focus, and we need to do what we can to kind of mitigate that.
Mr. MacPherson.
Testing has its place, so I guess I'm agreeing with both comments made to that issue. I think testing kids to determine how well a teacher is performing is ludicrous. It, again, I may have an advantage on the rest of the people sitting up here, but I was able to determine through the Budget Advisory Committee this year that it costs us about $400,000 in time to implement the APPR program. That's the, I give up on what, it's basically the ratings, the performance ratings of the teachers. The kids in third, fourth, and fifth grade, fifth I can buy because there's a transition there. Let's have a good baseline, but third and fourth to expose those kids, and now in the upcoming year, not this year, but the next school year, we're going to have kids in third grade have to take tests on the internet on a computer. We have to train them to do that. And while these kids today will do it better than many of the adults today, the fact of the matter is we have to be able to be sure that they're ready to take that test, and that's going to take time away from the general curriculum. So I'm against the amount of testing that's demanded by the state, and I'm reminded of the old network television or movie where the newscaster, after reading all this crap every night, decided to stick his head out the window and yell out, "I'm sick and tired and I'm not going to take it anymore." Now, I cleaned that up a little bit. But, the reality is, Olympia Snow has a new book out. She was on TV today in an interview. And she said, she was asked, I don't want to get into guns, but she was asked, why did that legislation fail? And she, when 90% of the people were for background checks. And her answer was, the 10% called 10 times more than the 90% did. We can change it. If we get together as a community, we can stop this mess we're putting on the kids.
Ms. Warka-Heller.
I think that there's too much testing as well, but it is a reality, so we have to make sure the students have the tools and the teaching that's necessary to for them to achieve their goals and do well on the test.
Question number 10. Ms. Warka-Howard, you'll be the first one to answer this one. What will you do as a school board member to restore an environment of trust between all shareholders in the GCS community? And also, do you believe there is conflict between the school district employees and the administration?
I think based on what I said before, I do think that there's a conflict between the employees and the administration. That's a bridge that has to be fixed. It is not a good environment for anybody when you don't have anything outside of a district. It can be at a clothing store. It doesn't matter what type of business you're in, because that's ultimately what it is. If you have unhappy employees, it's going to trickle down and it's going to affect your students. So I think that does have to be looked at. And personally, to help with an environment of trust, I mean, people that do know me know that they can tell me anything and talk to me, and I, you know, I'm very open and can communicate well with others. So I will do my best to make sure that what people are hearing, whether it be rumors or at the board meetings, is actually what's happening. So,
Mr. King.
I'll address the restore the trust first. One of the things that I hear about the complaints I hear, and I hear a lot, is about closed-door meetings, where things get done and people get awarded certain benefit programs or raises, and it's not done in the full scope of the public, and it's not done necessarily with the full board's consent. I would assure you that I would be screaming if that was attempted while I was on the board. That was not going to happen. Many of you know or might know that I used to write a column for the Greenville Mountain View Pioneer, and in it I voiced my displeasure with the way certain things were done. I also gave my email address. And I received many comments as to the conflict that is ongoing in the school, whether it's vocalized, verbalized, probably not, because many of the people spoke to me wouldn't give me their names. They didn't want it to be discussed that they were discussing things with me. I felt it was like Watergate, you know, I felt like Deep Throat. It boggled my mind that in such a small school district with so much potential, that this kind of internal conflict, fear, and dispute goes on. And I would want to make sure that all parties were involved in every step and every phase, and that things were worked out to everybody's benefit, not just a precious few.
Mr. Conley.
Well, you know, I think the key, it sounds like a broken record, but the key to restoring trust, I think, not just with staff members, but also the community, is going to be communication. I think that you had a lot of people last year who didn't trust what was going on. I think that was evidenced by the number of people who were turning out, the number of complaints that were being heard just in general or being reported in the paper. You know, there's obviously conflict that's going on now. I mean, if you go up and down 32, there are, you know, two big boards that tell you how many days that there is no contract yet. That is a distraction. You know, that's something that is a conflict that needs to be resolved. And I think that there are many people, both on the board and not, who are hopeful that that can be resolved sooner than later. There are obviously, you know, conflicts abound, not just between the public, between the board, as I've said. I think that there certainly could be a lot of improvement with regard to communication between the board and the public. I look forward to having a part in trying to facilitate that. And I think that the communication will serve not just the board and the public, but also the board, the superintendent, and the staff members of the district.
Mr. McPherson.
I am not aware of specific issues between individuals and the administration. I am aware and have talked to members of the staff when they have come to me as an individual that there is an undercurrent of concern among the staff. As a board member, I will do my best to understand that to the level necessary and to make sure that I act as a board member should in getting that information to the administration if the employees do not want to go that route individually. I must say, I believe that the administration is open to dialogue. I am not aware of closed-door meetings in terms of the budget. If there's others, I just don't know what that references to. What I do know is that management is never a straight issue. I've had the opportunity in my career to manage a number of people. I've been told by a deputy U.S. attorney that if I did what I told the commissioner I wanted her to do, he would arrest me for obstruction of justice. And I had to wait 5 months before he arrested 19 of my employees, many of whom, their counterparts knew those people were dirty, but they would not let management do anything because they thought it was going to lead to something bigger. That sometimes management can't do what it wants to do because of constraints that are there either contractually or based on the board ruling. If there is conflict in here, I'll do my best to find out what it is, and I will take every step I can to make sure that it's resolved cleanly and efficiently.
Mr. McPherson, you're first on this question. What is your strongest quality, and how do you plan to use it to improve the school board?
If I say passion, my wife's going to hit me. But I think it's my experience and my passion. I'm outraged, quite honestly, that the governor can stand up in front of a TV camera funded by people who will not let themselves be identified and say that his biggest regret this past year is that he couldn't give $2 million back to the highest paid people in the state. He is robbing the students of their constitutionally provided right, and that is to a basic sound education. There is a court order that the state of New York agreed to fund the schools in a manner that would make most of these fiscal issues go away. The governor has got a lot of gall to stand there and say that he raised school funding this year 3.2% or whatever the number was, because it was adjusted afterwards by the legislature. I'm passionate about that, and I will work with civil organizations like Citizens Action of New York and Educate New York Now and a few others to continually lobby with the legislature to get the funds that are necessary to run a rural school district efficiently and for the betterment of its students and to the relief of its taxpayers.
Ms. Warga Howard.
I think one of the things about me that will echo through onto the board is my need for information. Just even at my job now, my evaluation every year, my supervisor puts on it that I require too much information for my job. So I think that just shows that I tend to dig until I find an answer, and if I can't find it, then I'm gonna bug people until I find out what the real answer is. I don't just let things slide by not understanding it. So I think that's a really important trait that I could bring to the board.
Mr. King.
I think one of the traits I would find most useful on the board is my ability to observe and, more importantly, to listen. Everything that I've done in my lifetime, my career, the only way you succeed is in listening. And one of my first mentors told me, remember, Steve, you have two eyes and two ears and one mouth. So you should be silent 80% of the time and paying attention. Listening to the concerns of the people, if people don't feel they're getting what they deserve, being available to them, being open to them, not just at a school board meeting. I see so many of you, I mean, around all the time. We live in a very tight community, a very friendly community. I see you all over the place. And I would always be available for you to come and express your concerns and let me address them for you. Also getting to the bottom line of things, which needs to be done as a board of directors or the board of education, so that we can make sure that everybody is getting what they deserve on a fair and equal basis.
Mr. Conley.
I think the strongest quality that I'd be bringing to the board is my tenacity when it comes to solving problems. As my wife and children can attest to, I don't really ever allow the answer I don't know to be spoken, to be accepted in my house. Whenever something comes up, you need to figure it out. Whether it be, you know, replacing brakes on a car or solving a math problem or, you know, looking up something online. I really go full force when I'm trying to solve a problem. And I like to do so collaboratively with people, because I think that sometimes the journey in coming to a resolution, you know, hearing what other people have to say, letting them share their talents and experiences with you and doing the same with them, really kind of, to use a terrible corporate speak, really brings like a synergy to the situation where, you know, you can really do a lot more together than you can by yourself. So, you know, I look forward to bringing that kind of a desire to the board, and I look forward to executing that with my fellow board members and the rest of the public and staff.
Question number 12 has mostly to do with how you will be able to balance your responsibilities to the school board with the other demands on your time, and we're going to ask that you be candid. As a member of the Board of Education, you are an elected official who takes an oath of office to serve your community. You will be required to undergo board development and fiscal oversight training. Can you explain to the voters how you will allocate your time to effectively fulfill this elected position? And the first person to answer that is Mr. Conley.
I work for the state now. I'm a policymaker at the State Board of Elections, and so some of the things that I have to deal with now, or I have to deal with as a school board member, you know, I deal with now. I just have to finish my financial disclosure this week for the state. I have to get approval from JACO to even run for school board. I'm aware of a lot of those kind of restrictions or additional responsibilities that I have to take on if I were lucky enough to get elected to the school board. With regard to my time, as I've said, I don't sleep very much. So as I've also said, I like to dedicate my time towards my endeavors. I take this opportunity very seriously. I look forward to giving my time and my all, and as far as my effort goes. As I've said, I have quite a stake here in with my children and with all our children, because we've been here for 10 years, and I've seen so many of their friends grow, from just these little kids into young, mature adults. My oldest is an Eagle Scout. A lot of the kids that were from his year, I think it was probably one of the largest years that we had in Boy Scouts, as far as the number of Eagle Scouts that we produced. They do a great job. And just to see them all, kind of mature, and, watch those ceremonies, it's really, really makes me proud, not just as a father, but also as, a community member. And I hope that, I can really just continue to do what I can and as much as I can to continue that kind of tradition.
Mr. McPherson.
I think I mentioned earlier that I'm retired after 41 years with the state and 10 years as a consultant to the Federal Highway Administration in Washington. I have time on my hands. I will allocate a portion of that on a daily basis to school business. I would look forward to the training that comes as being a new board member. I will look forward to providing myself to members of the community to hear their concerns. I've been playing with the idea of maybe once a month hosting a session in the library where people could come and talk about any issues they had school related. I would like to talk to my fellow board members if I'm elected before I did that, because I don't want anybody's nose out of joint. But I am interested in the issues that school employees, school district parents and taxpayers have with the school district, and I will do everything I can to listen to their concerns, their wants, their needs. I'm going to take a little bit more of the minute left to me, or less than a minute left to me, to maybe explain what I meant before when I was answering about conflicts. The story I told about the U.S. Deputy Attorney threatening me, the point I was trying to get, and I don't think I made it, was that I had to walk through that office, and I used to visit it at least once every 2 weeks. It was in New York City. I had to walk through that office and see people who had worked there for 25 and 30 years looking at me saying, "What are you going to do about that?" And I couldn't do a damn thing. And that broke my heart. I will not let that kind of a situation evolve. If people come to me and they have issues with the administration, I will make them known to the administration. I will make them known to my fellow board members, and we'll deal with it.
Ms. Wargahauer.
Balancing time between, the rest of my life and being on the board, it'd be kind of easy for me. I have a unique schedule at work. I work 7 days in a row, and then I'm off for seven. So every other week, got nothing to do. So I've been looking for something. I'll be able to spend a lot of time during that week on any projects that need to be done, or brainstorming or internet research. I'm, going to have time to do it. Mr. Kane.
Simply put, I'm a over-caffeinated, hyperkinetic, type A New York City personality. So I'm always looking for a new challenge and something to do. Balance is something I always seek in my life, but when I find that I'm passionate and I really have strong feelings about accomplishing something, there's nothing that will stop me. There's a great book, and it's called Find a Way, Make a Way, and it has become my motto through any challenge that I come against, and that would certainly be making sure I had the time to serve when elected and fulfill the trust of the people who would put me in that position. I love learning, so any new challenge, any new course is a great opportunity for me, and I look forward to it.
This is our last question. I would like to give the candidates an opportunity to say what you would like on any topic that you think that we have not addressed, that is particularly dear to your heart. I will tell you that we have a couple more questions, one about teacher retirements, replacing teachers who are retiring. If they retire, will the positions be restored? One about technology and concerns about testing and skills and approaching those tests in the new technical environment. But I would like to give you the opportunity, in lieu of closing statements, to address any issue that you feel has been underrepresented here tonight, either in the questions or in your own answers. And we'll start with Mr. King.
I'd like to say that there were some excellent questions put forth, be it through Facebook, the people here tonight. I've been in a unique position where I've had the opportunity over the past several years actually to speak to many, many, many of you on a one-on-one basis, and I feel that many of you know where I stand on a majority of the topics. This isn't a shameless plug, but go out and get the Greenville Pioneer tomorrow. There are biographies in there. And my entire statement on what I would like to achieve, what I would like to see done, what I feel like to feel needs to be addressed will be in there tomorrow morning, so I'm just going to leave it at that and give my time to the next person.
Mr. Connelly.
I think we'll all just have the opportunity to just go a little bit further into what I've discussed before with regard to at least my experience with dealing with the district for my son with IBDs. I think that, and it's not just the district, and I assure you when he was first diagnosed, we had to deal with a lot of misinformation or just people not being educated about what it really was, both their family, our friends, like, you know, can he eat this? Well, he can eat whatever he wants. He just needs to take insulin for it. And I think that that kind of education needs to be spread along in the school district. You know, my wife and I, it's, I don't want to say it's a struggle, but it is at times learning how to deal with his disease and teaching him how to deal with it himself. And we, not that we drop him off in the morning expecting everyone here to take care of him and, you know, we're now shed of our responsibility because we're not. But I do think that I would like to see more communication with the families of children with various medical and other challenges between the district and them. I'd love to see more cooperation because, as I said, I don't necessarily expect them to have all the solutions to our problems. I would like to work with them cooperatively. And I look forward to making a safe and equitable environment for all our children.
Mr. McPherson.
I'll take a minute and thank all of you who showed up here tonight. I agree with Mr. King. The questions were great. I guess what I'd like to see that hasn't been addressed here tonight is a plea, I guess, that there be greater participation on the part of the community. If we had this many people at each board meeting, I think the community as a whole would know more about what's going on. I know there's a rumor mill. I have been subject to, subject is probably the wrong word. I have heard things said a day or two after a board meeting at which I attended, which were absolutely incorrect. So don't get your information from the rumor mill. Go to the website. I told you before, if I'm elected, one of the first things I'll do is to try to figure out what the community wants to see better in that website. I agree with Mr. Connelly about communication. It's a very, very important part of any community, especially the school district community. So to wrap it up, thank you very much. Please vote. Please get your neighbors to vote. And whatever happens on Tuesday, as a community, we'll work through it. And we'll have an exciting upcoming year and a few years after that. Thank you very much.
Ms. Warga-Howard.
There were so many topics that I probably can't remember all of them right now. So I think the questions were very broad and hit a lot of important things. But I just really want to say that accountability is something that is important to me, and I also want to just make sure that we're using our resources that are available to us in the best possible way.
Thank you all. I think that this has been a very civil and very informative exchange, and we all owe our candidates some applause.
Thank you.
I urge you to show your support of events like this by joining your PTA and PTSA and the League of Women Voters. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Some closing statements here first. Thank you for all participating in Meet the Candidates. Thank you, candidates, for coming out tonight and sharing. Thank you, Ms. Marringer, for moderating the forum. Thank you, Ms. Bubicki, for doing the time. Thank you, the Greenville School District, for opening up the building for the event. Thank you to the Board of Ed. A very heartfelt thank you to the building and grounds staff for setting this up and also breaking it down. Thank you to the voters for attending and for your questions. And lastly, please vote on Tuesday the 21st. Have a good night and drive safely.
See you on Tuesday. Well done. Good job, Tom.